Welcome to the Leader's Notebook with Dr. Mark Rutland. Dr. Rutland is a world-renowned leadership expert. He is a New York Times best-selling author, and he has served as the president of two universities. The Leader's Notebook is brought to you by Global Servants. For more information about Global Servants, please visit our website, globalservants.org. Here is your host, Dr. Mark Rutland.
I want to do a series of teachings in these Wednesday nights on not a theological teaching on the person of the Holy Spirit, but on the work of the Holy Spirit through us in terms of practical Christianity. What does it mean to live? We talk about living a Spirit-filled life, or we talk about Spirit-filled churches or Spirit-filled Christians. How does that work in day-to-day life? And each of those Wednesday nights, at some point in the service, maybe at the end or maybe at the beginning, but each Wednesday night this fall, I feel directed to have a portion of the service to pray for healing. And I'm going to do that every Wednesday night. So I invite you to bring your friends and those who want prayer for any aspect of life, emotional, physical, whatever, and I would consider it an honor to pray, and we'll pray at some point in some way every Wednesday night of this series for physical healing. So somebody asked me, is it going to be a healing service? In my view of what Spirit-filled Christianity in practice, in community, church, the Spirit-filled church, every service, every gathering of Christians to worship is, in a sense, a healing service. And that something of healing power happens in us every time we seek Him individually and particularly corporately when we seek Him together. Having said all that, the first of this series tonight, I would like to speak especially to the issue of healing. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll take those and turn to the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke was a physician, and it's no surprise, I think, that he was fascinated by the healing ministry of Jesus. He records more of his specifics of Jesus' healing ministry than anyone else. And even in the book of Acts, which he wrote, he is also fascinated with the healing ministry that God gives to the apostolic church. Nothing is so helpful to us when we consider the issue of healing as a good body of scripture. So I'm going to actually read a good bit of scripture, and I'll call out when we change so that you can follow me. The first is Luke chapter 5, verses 12 and 13. And it came to pass when he, now that is Jesus, of course, and it came to pass when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. Just make an underline of it and I'll come back to it. Saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Now to verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which will come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. Now, please notice the next passage. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. But none of them got healed. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought a man in a bed, which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in, because of the multitude, they went up on the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, What is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Which, of course, by the way, they were right. They just didn't know they were right. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And here he spoke to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Chapter 6, verse 6. And it came to pass also on another Sabbath that Jesus entered into the synagogue and taught, and there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, Rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he arose and stood forth, and Jesus said unto them, not to him, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, Stretch forth thy hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Look at the next verse. It's fascinating. And they were filled with madness and communed one to another what they might do to Jesus. Verse 17. And Jesus came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Chapter 7 and verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, brought in an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. But when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, isn't that wonderful? In his heart, he's just accused him of being a fraud. Now he calls him Master. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he saith unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Now turn to chapter 8 for the final one, beginning with verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind Jesus and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood stopped. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee. Sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me. For I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling. By the way, the implication is trembling with fear. She came trembling and fell down before him and and declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now I want to begin with a prayer. I want to pray for God's healing grace to just flow across the room. And I want you certainly to listen to the teaching and be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But if there are physical needs, emotional needs, whatever it is in your life that you came here either saying to yourself, I came here to seek healing, or if right now it comes into your mind, I want healing. As I preach, teach, share with you, be sensitive to what God is doing inside you. Let's pray together. Spirit of the living God, we humbly wait on your presence. Descend on us, we pray. May your healing power flow across these persons. Touch them physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, at places of deep dis-ease, disappointment, hurt, woundedness, pain. You know every person in this room. You know those things for which they need healing, of which they themselves are not aware. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus. Spirit of Jesus. Move up and down these pews. Touch first one and then another with your healing grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. When we begin to consider the healing ministry of the church, there is no better model than the healing ministry of Jesus. Sometimes we want to choose more contemporary models. We want to choose persons in recent or ancient history and how God used them in some unique and powerful way about healing. But the greatest model of the healing ministry for the church is Jesus. Now, first of all, what does that mean to who we are? You learned in your childhood catechism, if you grew up as I did in a liturgical church, you took catechism as a kid, church membership classes, whatever you call it, something. What is the definition of the church? Everybody learned it. The church is the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. Well, we say that. But when it comes to any form of healing ministry, that's when it becomes the most pregnant with implications. The church is the body of Christ means that not only are we invoking his presence as an other to walk among us, but that he is within us individually and corporately, and that he flows from us to us in healing grace. Know ye not? The kingdom of God is within you. Think about that. Know ye not? The kingdom of God is within you. That means that there is no more likelihood that a superstar preacher on television will lay hands on someone and they will recover than that you do. The kingdom of God, all of it, the kingdom of God is within you. Second thing is this, is the healing ministry of the church cannot be separated from the tender love of Christ for those that are in need of healing. So the people that are most likely to get healed are the people that need to be healed. That's such a simple statement. It hardly bears to repeat. But the fact of the matter is, people say, how come I never get a healing? Well, the first thing I would ask you is, are you sick? You're probably not going to get a healing unless you need one. So when we consider the healing ministry of the church, we say we want to be involved in the healing ministry, it means that we're going to have to be willing to touch and be touched by those who need healing. Whatever that means. So what about this man that came to Jesus with leprosy? It's a powerful passage. It doesn't just say that Jesus speaks healing. Jesus touches a man with leprosy. It says, and Jesus touched him. That may be one of the most powerful passages that I read to you tonight. Do you see what it means to you and to me personally? It means that no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter the nature of your woundedness, or no matter the woundedness that we have inflicted on others, that Jesus doesn't draw away from us in disgust. And we dare not draw away from each other. I'll tell you, one of the most powerful healing moments that I ever saw in my limited ministry, I was asked to visit a young man in the AIDS ward, Orlando. It's at the time when AIDS was just being sort of understood and yet misunderstood. The nature of how contagious it was. You know, any time you went around anybody with AIDS, you had to wear almost a hazmat suit, and it was mask, and the whole thing it was very frightening, and nobody knew what it was. And so the hospital actually was having trouble finding a preacher that would go in and see this boy, and said they had asked him, it was actually a Seventh-day Adventist hospital, a religious hospital, so they had asked him if he would see a minister, and he finally agreed to. He was very angry. He finally said, okay, bring one. So they called several, and they were busy or whatever. I don't cast aspersions, but they asked me if I would come. And they ask it in a funny way, would you come and see this young man? He's, you know, a little bit isolated or whatever. And finally I said, look, I was born at night, but I wasn't born last night. What are you telling me? Is he got AIDS? They said, Pastor, he's dying with AIDS. He may not make it through the night. So I said, I'll be there. So I went in. It was an angry boy, 19, had on a woman's nightgown and holding a teddy bear, tubes down his nose. He looked like a skeleton. He was furious with life and with God. When I walked in the door, I said, I'm Mark Rutland. I'm the pastor at certain church here in Orlando. And he said, I guess you came to tell me that Jesus hates queers. I said, no, I'm here to tell you Jesus loves queers. And he was so shocked. He said, well, that's not what I was expecting you to say. I said, no, obviously not. I said, you have no idea who Jesus is, do you? And he said, well, maybe I don't. And I just sat by his bed and we talked about Jesus. We just talked about Jesus, how good he was and his character and his nature. We just talked about Jesus. And he just kept saying, oh, that's really nice. That's really good. That's wonderful. Finally, I said, tell me how you became so sick. He said, preacher, I've been with hundreds of men since I was 12 years old. Hundreds. He said, I didn't catch this by accident. This is not from a blood transfusion. I said, have they explained to you what the end of this is? He said, I'm dying. I said, then what? Then what? He said, hell, I guess. If it's real, I said, oh, son, it's real. But it isn't inevitable. And we just talked for a while about heaven. Just talked about heaven and repentance and being born again. After a while, he said, oh, is it too late? I said, it's not too late. If it was too late, he wouldn't have sent me. I'm here. So he prayed with me. He held my hand. We prayed together, and he received Christ as his Savior. We talked about that, what it was going to mean. And all of a sudden, he said, oh, He said, "Preacher, get a nurse, quickly." I said, are you okay? He said, I'm all right, but I need a nurse. I need somebody to come help me. I said, can I help you? He said, no, you can't help me. I need somebody. I said, what is it? He said, well, look at me. He said, I don't want to die in this nightgown. They came and put him in a green hospital gown. A few hours later, he was dead. Now, I don't know what you believe, but I'm going to tell you something. If you believe that Jesus was standing at the foot of that 19-year-old boy saying, "Now you're getting what you deserve. Your Jesus is my devil." I got a few questions. Where were the businessmen that were using a 12-year-old boy? I've got that question. I've got another question. Where was the church that would refuse to touch a boy dying for his sins? Not just dying in his sins. He didn't catch AIDS through a blood transfusion. But if we can't touch those who are dying for their sins, if we draw away from the leper because we believe that he deserves his leprosy, we are not the healing ministry of Jesus. So when we talk about the healing ministry, what we have to say is the healing ministry, when you announce we're going to be a healing church or a healing ministry or a healing prayer meeting or a healing Sunday school class, you have to be prepared for people to come who need healing. The second thing about that story is that I believe he got healed. That's also hard for the church. They said, well, he didn't get healed. He died of AIDS. He died of AIDS and then he got healed. So whenever we talk about healing, we always have to remember that healing, physical healing, emotional healing, the healing ministry of Christ is on this side of the doorway that we call death. On the other side is ultimate healing. We just have to be clear on this. So many spirit-filled Christians and spirit-filled churches don't have a good, robust theology of healing because they don't have a good, robust theology of death. Listen, if you haven't heard this, let me be the one to tell you, death is not the worst thing that can happen to a Christian. I meet people all the time say, our grandfather served the Lord for 60 years. He loved Jesus. He worshiped him. And then he got sick and we prayed for him and prayed for him and he died and we're so angry. I said, well, I can see that you should be. Yeah. He's in heaven now in his glorified body walking on golden streets, hearing the angels sing. No wonder you're mad. So, participate in the healing ministry, then people see things that happen. Something happens, somebody gets touched, moved, healed in some way or another. So one guy came to me and he said, I believe all these healings that you saw tonight, and we saw a lot of them one night, and he said, I believe they're all temporary. I said, well, they're 100% temporary. They're all temporary. He said, well, then what's the use of them? I said, well, we're all temporary. This whole shooting match is temporary. I said, all of Jesus' miracles were temporary. He said, no, they weren't. I said, well, where's Lazarus? Show me Lazarus. When Lazarus finally went to heaven, they said, welcome back. You know, you again? So we have to take into account the fullness of life, the miraculous power of Christ. Yes, we're in need. He doesn't make light of our physical needs. He didn't say to this leper, oh, you'll die and go to heaven soon. Quit moaning. He healed him. So we're going to pray for healing. I believe God may be healing people right now while I talk. I'm believing that. And we're going to pray for healing. But I just want to say this. We have to take into account the reality of all the different ways that healing can happen. And that is one. That is one. My mother's 99. Her mind is going. Shelf gave way this past month, and the marbles began to slide. The day she doesn't know who she is or where she is, and the next day she's fine. So my siblings and I got together and said, how shall we pray? How do we want to pray for our mother? And we agreed, let's yield her to God. Let's release her into the will and purpose and goodness and grace of an eternal God. She's a tough old girl, but she's 99 and she's miserable. We release you. Does that sound hard? I believe that we have to know when to release. When to release. Now, the next thing is this. As we see the ministry of Jesus, there is an actual flow in the ministry of Jesus. This is fascinating. This word virtue, which is used twice. We just read it. Did you catch it? So this is a fascinating one. It says he stepped down into the plain and the multitude came. Think now, we said, who comes seeking healing? The diseased. Imagine what that multitude must have looked like. Broken and wounded and with open cancers and tumors and blind eyes. And imagine as they crawled and limped and cried out, this horribly wounded, sick, diseased group. And it says Jesus stood there in the midst of them and just let him touch him. Whew. That scene just moves me. And Jesus says, touch me. So the 19-year-old dying with AIDS, he says, touch me. The old woman dying with Alzheimer's, he says, touch me. Touch me. And when we do, something flows out of him and into us. What is that healing virtue? I believe it is Calvary love. That which flows directly from the cross into the point of human need. Whatever that is. A flow. We can actually experience it from time to time. I have experienced it, and I think those of you that have prayed with other people for healing, I have stood in healing lines in Africa and India and elsewhere until after I prayed for a while, my hands were swollen. And I could actually almost feel a flow. I'm not quite electricity or something, but that is that healing virtue. What I believe is that God wants to find a church where his healing virtue just flows. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it just be wonderful if the healing service began when people walked in the door? That it wasn't that people walked in and began to get whole, began to get weller, because they walked into the flow of the virtue of Christ. Just in the air, in the music, in the preaching, in the atmosphere that people just walked in. Dr. Tommy Tyson used to say, he said, I would like to be so full of the Holy Spirit that when I walk in a restaurant where nobody knows me or who I am or that I'm a Christian, people begin to get spontaneously healed. That'd be great. So we're talking about practical, Spirit-filled Christianity. And here is one of those practical, Spirit-filled realities. You are not only a person who needs healing, you're a person through whom the healing virtue of Christ may flow into someone else. My framework of healing has changed over the last 50 years of ministry. I now take a fuller view. I think an old woman in a wheelchair might pray for a blind child, and the child's eyes be opened, and she goes home seeing, and the old lady goes home in her wheelchair. And that's not, it's not that that's a more complicated view of healing, it's that it's a simpler one. Everything that I know about healing has sort of been reduced to one reality. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Then there is the issue of healing in process. There are instant miracles. Instant miracles. I've seen them. Lima, Peru, one night, a lady came to our worship service and she said, "My husband is at home dying. He can't get here. Our service was about to start." And one of the Peruvian pastors came with a Bible. We laid our hands on the Bible and she left with it. In just a little while, she came back with her husband. She went home, laid the Bible in his chest, and he was raised up. He walked in the door, healed completely. I saw a marvelous, immediate, miraculous healing ministry the next night at another church. In the middle of the service, it was hot, left all the doors and windows open. A man came in off of the street with a little boy, and he had like a Forrest Gump metal braces all in his legs. And he didn't know how to do church, so he didn't wait for the altar call. He just walked up. And so we didn't know what to do, but just pray for him. And he was holding the little boy with his back this way and his hands under the boy's legs. So we gathered around him, and I stepped up and put the bottoms of his shoes against me, and we began to pray for his legs. And all of a sudden, I felt his leg move against my chest. And this is awful to admit. I had so little faith, I didn't want to open my eyes. I was afraid it was, you know, some kind of a physical perception to me and not real. And I heard the Peruvian pastor say, "Oh, mi Dios, oh my God." We pulled those braces off. That little boy ran. Instant, total instant miracle. We thank God. I've also seen people entered into the healing presence of Christ over a period of time. Things happen that way. Somebody said to me one time, kind of argumentatively, all of Jesus' healings were instantaneous. Actually, that isn't true. One we didn't read tonight, it was a man born blind and came to Jesus, and Jesus prayed for him, and then Jesus said, "Can you see?" Now, that's a remarkable thing. That's the Son of God who wanted to know whether or not his prayers had effect. Does that help anybody but me? maybe that doesn't help you. Can you see? And the guy said, "Well, I can tell light from dark, but I have no definition. It just looks like trees blowing in the wind." Jesus did not rebuke him for his lack of faith. You know what Jesus did? He prayed again. If the Son of God has to pray twice for some healings, who do you think you are? So there's nothing wrong with anointing. Our daughter Rosemary was born without a tear duct in one eye. It's not a huge thing, but her eye she'd wake up in the morning with yellow stuff caked in her eye, and we'd have to clean it out. The doctor said, "We can't do anything till she's two." On her second birthday, bring her. He said, "We can open it, create a tear duct." And we just started literally bathing that child in prayer. Everybody that came, we asked them to pray. We prayed. At Grace at meal, we'd pray. Her big brother Travis would pray. We prayed. On her second birthday, she woke up with a tear duct. Perfect. Now, does that not give you any questions? I would say, "Lord, you couldn't do it. You're like God and all." But the thought occurs to me that maybe he wanted us to pray for 2 years. So healing in community is real. It's about people that need healing. It's about grace. It's about willing to touch and be touched, to find his redemptive purpose in it. Yes, to pray for the sick. And it can take all kinds of formats. I was preaching many years ago at a Methodist church not all that far from here. And it was a very small little church, about the size of the first 8 or 9 rows right here, this one section. And I spoke on healing, and a man came forward. His little hands were just twisted. He couldn't even hold a pencil. And I was going to pray for him. There was a lady that came and stood behind him, and she kind of stood like this with her arms crossed and her eyes all this way. And I said, are you his wife? She said, yes. And, you know, you just try to pursue. Not all discernment is spiritual. And I said, is there any division between you? Is there any unforgiveness or anything like that that we ought to deal with? And she said, I forgave him for all that years ago. And I said, you know, I can see that. But just in the remote possibility, what is it? And so she and the pastor were standing there, and they leaned over and whispered in my ear, 20 years earlier, he was an OTR truck driver over the road, and one night out of town alone, he spent the night with a hooker. 20 years. She had never been able to forgive him. And I asked her, I said, do you believe in the Lord's Prayer? She said, I pray it all the time. I said, what about this line? Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. I said, you may be praying yourself into hell. Forgive me to the extent which I forgive my husband. I said, I want to ask you a question. It's been 20 years ago. You think there's any possibility that that hooker could have gotten saved in the last 20 years? She said, yeah, I guess so. I said, wouldn't it be a ironic tragedy for your husband and that hooker to wind up in heaven? So it's a wonderful liberty in being a guest preacher, you know. I'm going to leave a mess for that Methodist preacher to clean up. It's not my problem. But somehow or another, it hit her. Somehow it hit her. And she turned to her husband and she said, oh my God, Charlie, what have I done? She said, the best years of our lives. What have I done? And they embraced, and the pastor was crying. People came out of the pews. Everybody was around them just weeping and rejoicing. We had forgotten about Charlie's hands. Healing was happening. All of a sudden, he pushed everybody back, and he said, oh, my God, look at my hands. And he was completely healed. Completely. Now, you see what I'm trying to say? We're complicated folks. We're made in a complicated way. All of this stuff touches, mind, body, spirit. It's all in there. It all touches. And Satan drops a monkey wrench down in the middle of it, and the cables and the wires just go everywhere. So healing for that, people say, I want to see an instantaneous miracle. Well, maybe you do. What about the man lowered from the rooftop? He's obviously so crippled that he can't even walk, and Jesus ignores that. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven. Because he knew that somehow that man needed that word before he could receive, rise up, and walk. So, is there the possibility that tonight that the church could be the body of Christ in this place? That we could be the body of Christ. I'm going to pray, but I'm going to invite you to engage with me in the healing ministry. That this is the body of Christ, not a person. The body of Christ in healing ministry. Can you believe that the virtue of Jesus could flow right down through your arms, right out through your hands, and right into a person's need that you don't even know about? Why not? I'd like for you, if you would please, to bow your head and close your eyes. And if you would, if you can, I know it may be physically difficult for you too, but if you could lean over and put your hands or your fingertips on the back of the person in front of you. It may not be possible. You may have to stand to do it. Heavenly Father, I pray that the church be the church. Let the church be the church. The body of Christ. Come, Holy Spirit. Flow through us. Oh Lord, you know where there's pockets of resistance, abscesses of hurt, unforgiveness, bitterness, physical need, pain. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will flow through. Lord, I pray that you will touch hands, feet, knees, hips, spines. Lord, I pray that you'll flow into the physical skeletal structure of people, internal organs, anywhere where there's tumors, abnormal growth of any kind, that it would be dried up and healed. Lord, I pray that you would flow into the blood, into the marrow of the bones, into the spleen of every person here, that any abnormal cell anywhere would be healed from the nucleus out. Lord, I pray that you would flow into eyes, ears, the brains, flow right through the internal organs. Receive healing. Speak to the person on whom you're laying hands. Speak to them. Say, friend, receive a touch from Jesus. Receive a touch from Jesus. Now speak to them with faith. Be made whole. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen and amen. Now, here's what we're going to do. I told you that my entire theology of healing has sort of been reduced to Jesus loves me, this I know. There are a lot of people who know a lot more about healing than I do, but I know Jesus loves sick folks. That's what I know. So we're going to stand, and those of you who can stand, and we're going to sing Jesus Loves Me. And just a simple little song. You know it. You learned it in Vacation Bible School. Jesus loves me. As you stand, and as you, will you be sensitive to what God is doing in your body? If you came in with a hand, say, I'm giving you an example, that wouldn't move, in the name of Jesus, stretch forth your hand and see if your pinky finger is the only thing you can move, then in the name of Jesus, move it. If your spine has been hurting every time you move, gently, do nothing presumptuous, don't do anything crazy, but turn and see. Let's see what Jesus is doing in the room tonight. Let's just see what he does. Let his love flow down on us and out from us. Amen? Let's sing together. Jesus loves me, this I know.
Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells.
Lift your hands up and worship the Lord. It's so wonderful.
Little ones to him belong.
Receive your healing. Receive your healing.
But he is strong.
Yes. 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 The divine affirmative. Yes. Jesus loves me.
Yes,
be healed.
Jesus,
receive your healing.
Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Now just remain standing for, I know we're 3 minutes over, but stay with me. Let's see what God is doing tonight. Let's just see if somebody would say, you know, Dr. Ellen, I think the Lord has touched me in some way. Will you raise your hand so we can rejoice with you? Come on in. Yes, Can you share with us what it is? Yes, I saw somebody raise their hand back there. No? I saw somebody raise their hand. If you feel like God has touched me, yes, ma'am? Can you call out? Just share with us. What do you think God has done for you tonight? Your knees aren't hurting? They were hurting? Good. Praise God. They were hurting when you came in? And now they're not?
I was limping.
You were limping?
Yeah.
Now they're not hurting?
They're not hurting.
Not hurting at all?
No.
Then thank God, yes? Praise God. Now you may say that doesn't seem like a huge miracle, but you know what? It isn't your knees. What I've found is the greatest healing anybody gets, the greatest healing in the house, the one somebody gets. What about you, ma'am? Has something happened?
My ears.
Your ears? What about them?
Hear well. Couldn't hear well? Couldn't
no.
hear well?
No.
Yes.
You feel like it's happening?
Yes.
Yes. You do?
Yes.
Would you like it to pray?
Yes.
All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask several of you just there close by. Don't have to be some special person. Just come and we're going to pray again. We're just going to pray again. Okay? Like Jesus. She said her ears are opening. She hadn't been able to hear well, and she feels it's better, but we're going to pray and believe for it to go better. Lord, we thank you for this. We pray that her ears would be open further. Touch the tiniest bones in her ears, the nerve, every part of her hearing apparatus. Lord, we pray that you will continue to open her ears and that hearing will return. We believe you for it. We thank you for it. Woman, receive the ministry of the church, the body of Christ. Receive his healing virtue. Ephrata, be thou opened. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, will you just stay on the front? We may pray again. Will you stay right there on the front? Will you stay on the front there? Do you mind? All right, who else? Anybody else say, I just feel like something happened to me tonight physically? Anyone? I preached at the Methodist Church in Akron, Ohio one night. And it was a situation just like this. And I kept saying, if something is wrong, move your hand, move your knee, try it. And the little boy, you know, I love children because they don't know how to act in church. And this little boy sitting around over there, he yelled at his mother and said, Mother, turn your head. And she said, Kadoosh. He said, turn your head. And so she turned. She said, oh, I'm healed. I always wondered how long would it have been before she discovered it. So, you know, I'm just saying, if your elbow wouldn't extend, try it. You know, don't force anything. Try it. Ma'am, has something happened in you? Where's the man that prayed for her?
Jesus.
Sorry. Where's the man that prayed for her? Anybody? Somebody prayed for her. Yes? All right, listen to me. I just want to tell you something. This is very, very important. This is the Lord. Look, we think God has to send Oral Roberts or Catherine Kuhlman. Know ye not, the kingdom of God is within you. This is the most important lesson of the night. Isn't that wonderful? She had a spinal disorder and was giving her a great deal of pain. And she said, when the person touched me on the back, they touched me exactly at the point of my pain, and it's gone. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Who else? Somebody that you have some sense of something specific happening. Yes? All right. How are your ears, sister? How are your ears? Are they better? Some better. After we prayed? Do you mind if we pray again? Okay. Why don't we pray again? If they got better first two times, let's see if they get better one more. All right? Good. I can see your faith's going up. Come on, let's pray. Let's pray again. Let's pray again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you, God. We ask that you would take it further. Take it further. We're greedy for your healing. We're greedy for your healing. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray that you will take her further. Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We don't take it for granted. We're asking you for more complete healing. Woman, in the name of Jesus, receive a touch from God. The body of Christ lays hands on you. Receive. Receive and be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 All right, you stay right there on the front again, all right? Don't leave. Stay right there on the front. All right, who else? Anybody else something? Yes, something specific? Father, I just thank you. Lord, I just thank you for your healing mercy, for your grace. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. Your willingness to touch her. Thank you for lifting that pain. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. We believe you, God, to touch every disc, every vertebrae from her, the base of her skull to the base of her spine. Woman, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, receive a touch from God. The body of Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God. Yeah, it's great. Look, Jesus didn't play in games. He wouldn't jump you. Wow. I'm going to believe with you. She said she came in with a great deal of pain from an accident she had 40 years ago. But she said when we were singing, her pain went away. So, great. The community itself becomes the healing presence. Amen? The body of Christ. That's what I believe about the healing ministry. I thank God for somebody like Catherine Kuhlman or somebody, you know, that some God has some unique ministry for them. But the real deal is you. The real deal is you. Every Wednesday night, to some extent or another, every Wednesday night, we're going to have prayer for healing. We're going to pray. Bring people with you. Let's see what God will do. Each Wednesday night, I'm going to be teaching next Wednesday night on real versus theoretical Christianity. And then in the course of the evening, at some point, we will also have a prayer for healing every Wednesday night.
You've been listening to The Leader's Notebook with Dr. Mark Rutland. You can follow Dr. Rutland on X at Dr. Mark Rutland or visit his website, drmarkrutland.com, where you can find information about his materials and his app. Join us next week for another episode of The Leader's Notebook.